Is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 34 through 48. While the disciples were talking about how Jesus had appeared to Simon, and how he had made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread, Jesus himself stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Our second reading comes from Acts, chapter 3, verses 12 through 26. As Peter and John were approaching the temple, a man, who had been lame from birth, asked them for alms. They looked at the man intently and said, "Look at us." Peter continued to explain that they had no silver or gold. "But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand and walk." And others saw this. They came running towards them, and this is how the reading from Acts continues. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and the righteous one, and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name himself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as also your rulers. In this way God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you from your own people a prophet like me. You must listen to whatever he tells you.' And it will be that everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be utterly rooted out of the people. And all the prophets, as many as have spoken from Samuel and those after him, also predicted these days. You are the descendants of the prophets, and of the covenant that God gave to your ancestors, saying to Abraham, 'And in your descendants all the families of earth shall be blessed.' When God raised up his servants, he sent him first to you, to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways."
Please join me in a moment of silence. And I pray, God, that you be in our hearts and our minds as we meditate together this morning. Amen. I invite you first to look at the hands on the screen, the sermon screen. And then let's look at our own hands, just thinking what our hands have done during this week what our hands have done already this morning, done for ourselves, done maybe for others. And just like I said last week, hands are a big part of our Easter story. Now I invite you to use your eyes. Look again at the screen. Just remember. And then look around wherever you are. Look for a moment at any people that are right there with you, or pets or houseplants, or something out a nearby window. Gaze on something that gives you something special in your life. In today's gospel reading, Jesus' disciples were frightened, for they thought that their eyes were seeing a ghost. They thought their eyes were seeing a ghost, even though they had already heard how Jesus had made himself known to Simon and others by breaking bread with his hands for those who were gathered with Simon. But they still were startled when he greeted them with the very well-known words, "Peace be with you." And then, seeing how they looked still startled, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Do we get frightened? Just take a moment to think about what might frighten you. What might frighten us? What might frighten our family members and other loved ones? I think about what frightens a Black mother and or father as they head for work or watch their loved ones head out for the day. And what about our Asian brothers and sisters, our Pacific Islanders, people from Samoa, indigenous people here and around the world? Think about our LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters as they head off to wherever they are going each day. Why are we frightened? I pray, I really do pray, that we are also frightened for these brothers and sisters that I have mentioned, for anyone who I might have accidentally left out, because we all of us are God's beloved people. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that is so frustrated and angry about the continued hateful violence that is happening here and around the world. I remember Virginia led us when we stood outside the front of our church a few weeks ago in solidarity with the walk in Altadena in support of our Asian brothers and sisters. And on the megaphone, she led us in slogans like, "Stop the violence. Just stop it, stop it, stop it. Stop the hate. Just stop it, stop it, stop it." If only those chants could make it happen. Jesus also asks his disciples in today's reading, "Why do doubts arise in your heart?" So take a moment to think about what kinds of doubts we live with. Why do doubts arise in our hearts? For me, I want the peace be with you. I want the phrase that Jesus uses as a greeting. I want it for myself and I want it for everyone. That's everyone. But how can I feel peaceful when there is so much turmoil surrounding me, surrounding us, surrounding people that we care about, And so frequently, there's nothing that we can do to help. And as we see in the picture, Jesus shows his disciples his hands and his feet, and he says, "Look, see, see, this is me. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And that makes me think of one of my fears. I fear that there are some loved ones that I may not see again in this lifetime. All I can do is send my love and God's love in truth to people that I fear this about. Are there people that you fear that you may never see again in this life? Then Jesus asks his disciples for something to eat, because he can tell in their joy they were still disbelieving and still wondering. And after eating, he reminded them of the words that have been passed down through the centuries about the days that we now call Easter, the continued days of Easter. So today, on this third Sunday of Easter, along with the hands of Easter, I add the eyes of Easter. For Jesus has said, "See, see me." Today we also hear words from Acts, which tell us about the acts of the followers of Jesus. We are told that Peter and John looked intently at the man who had his hand outstretched for alms. And then they said, "Look at us." Something happened when the lame man looked, really looked at John and Peter. Having no gold or silver, Peter simply said, "But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand and walk." And Peter reached out his hand and I'm sure had intense eye contact with him, to the lame man. And the man stood and walked. It is important for us to look at one another. It is important to look into the eyes of one another. I tried to look at a source and I could find the phrase that I've known so well, but I could find no source. It has been said that the eyes are the windows into a person's soul. So something very important happened as they looked, John and Peter, at the lame man. And he looked back at them. This caused me to wonder, have any of you participated in a healing circle? I have. Sometimes we have laid our hands on the person in our circle, and sometimes we just held our hands out toward the person in the center of the circle. One man was going in for a heart procedure a few days following our healing circle. A few days later, when the doctor examined him, he was told that the procedure was no longer necessary. His heart was ticking away just the way it should be, sounding regular and strong and healthy. I've also participated in a protective circle. When Jesus and I drove to the Black Lives Matter car rally, they asked that white clergy surround them in a protective circle. Just a few days ago, I had a conversation with one of my UCC Black pastor friends, and I said, "Please, if you ever need me to go with you someplace, please let me know. Or if you know of anyone who needs a white person to go someplace with them, please let me know." I will come. So I'm on a few lists of just showing up to be an accompaniment with various people. Today's readings show us the importance of just showing up, of just being present, of just being with someone. Frequently, that's all we can do. Just show up and be present. During these times of COVID, there's many times when we can't show up in person. I again wonder how many of us have loved ones that we fear we may never see again in person because of the distance and for various reasons that we just cannot be together. So now, here come the eyes again, so stay with me. We are told that people came running when they saw what was happening. We saw Peter in the middle of the crowd, and he's letting them have it. He's telling them the whole story and accuses them of rejecting the Holy One who came in the name of the divine. Now again, I can hear my friend, our friend, Paul Stevens, whispering in my ear, "Remind them, Marcia, remind everyone that it was the powerful people who governed that put Jesus to death, because he was a threat to the reigning power of the time." It might be interesting for you to know that during the Council of Trent, during 1545 through 1563, the Catholic Church finally declared that it was the collectivity of sinful humanity that was responsible for the death of Jesus, not a certain group of people. And then the Second Vatican Council in 1962-1965 restated that, and recent popes continue to affirm that it was not a specific group of people who called for the death of Jesus, but a mixed group of people who were incited by the powerful people of the time. There is also an ongoing disagreement among scholars and theologians as to whether Jesus really had to die, that possibly, maybe God thought humankind would receive the message of Jesus, who exemplified the love of God as he practiced in his life, and the way he reached out, especially for those who suffered. There is a big division among Christians regarding this issue, and that would be a good topic for an adult study. So I remind you, as I frequently do, that in the United Church of Christ, we agree to disagree, but we can still come together as God's beloved community. And as I said last week, unity does not mean uniformity. So one of the last parts of our reading from Acts was to turn from wicked ways. Do we all need to turn from our wicked ways? Yes. Yes, we all have times in our lives when we need to turn away from something that is not healthy or helpful and might be harmful. We need to do things that are good for ourselves and good for others. So today we are called to use our eyes to see others, to look into the windows of the eyes of those we meet. We are asked today to look intently at one another. We are asked to turn away from something that we need to stop doing or saying or even thinking, and to bring ourselves into the newness of these days of resurrection. So now let us look again at our hands and think about how we continue to use our hands to share kind actions as we gaze intently into the eyes of others, hoping that with our hands and with our eyes, we are showing others that we are followers of Jesus. On this third Sunday of Easter, may we be filled with the peace that Jesus came to earth to share with us.